In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Way back in the days of Elisha the prophet, there was a Syrian general named Naaman. He's described as a mighty man of great valor, victorious leader of the Syrian armies. And these Syrian armies, by the way, were not Jewish armies, and they frequently fought against the Israelites. So Naaman was an often enemy of Israel. In spite of his strength and his victories, Naaman had a big problem. He suffered from leprosy, a chronic, painful, and debilitating skin disease. Now, Naaman heard of the holy man Elisha from a Jewish slave girl that he had captured, and so he goes to see Elisha to get healed. And Naaman stands at the door of Elisha's house and requests, which is to say, demands healing. But instead of going out to see Naaman, Elisha just sends a messenger to the door with these instructions. Elisha's messenger says, "Tell Naaman to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times, and he will be healed." Now, rather than being pleased with this news, General Naaman is furious. He flies off the handle. "Why can't this holy man just come out and wave his hand over me?" he asks. "Why should I have to immerse in this second-rate foreign river? And what's with the 7 times? And Naaman storms off in a rage. But Naaman's servants chase him down, and they try to calm him. And they say, "You know, sir, if the prophet says wash and be clean, shouldn't you at least give it a try? Is that so bad?" So General Naaman goes to the Jordan and dips in 7 times. And not only was he cleansed of his leprosy, it says his skin became like the skin of a little child. He's not only healed of his disease, his youth is restored. This warrior general gets perfect, soft baby skin. So powerful was the grace found in the waters of Jordan. So I'd like to take a quick look at Naaman's question, because it's not really a bad question. You know, why couldn't this holy prophet just wave his hand over Naaman with a blessing? Why the washing in the water? And it's a good question. I mean, can't God heal? Can't God bless? Can't God sanctify by word alone? Why do we need the water? Well, the first half of the answer is, of course God can and frequently will bless and sanctify and heal without water. God can do that, and plenty of times God does heal and sanctify by word alone. But when we search scripture and church history and even go through our own lives, we can't help but notice how often God uses the element of water for humanity's restoration and sanctification. God created the world with water. God created the Garden of Eden with water. God creates life with water. As adults, our bodies are 60% water. God freed the Israelites from slavery to Pharaoh through the waters of the Red Sea. God brought the Israelites into the Promised Land under Joshua through the waters of Jordan. By water, John prepared a whole nation for the coming of its Savior. By washing in water, Jesus heals a man blind from birth. And when our Savior was crucified, the soldier pierced his side with a spear, and out of his sacred body came blood and water. The water in the Lord's body was part of our collective redemption. How is it that this water of God not only gives physical life, but spiritual life? How is it that our most basic element on a living planet is also the most basic element in our redemption? Well, it's because in the sight of God, all things are good. All of creation is noble. All of creation is sacred. There's no physical is bad, spiritual is good. There is none of that with our God, the God who made heaven and earth. There is no separation between sacred and secular in creation itself. All is secular when it turns from God, even spirituality. And all is sacred when it is brought into the divine light, even the most physical elements. When the Son of God became flesh, it was a divine revelation that our bodies are good and wonderful and worthy of veneration and even divine life. If the Son of God took on a body, then the body in all its physicality must be good. In fact, we would say worthy of divinity. And that was one of the mysteries being celebrated at the Nativity last week. Now, 12 days later, we arrive at the celebration of the baptism of our Lord. Jesus comes to John and asks for baptism. And John's rightly a little bit perplexed. Why would the perfect one need baptism in the waters of repentance? What John doesn't realize is that it's not that Jesus needs the water, it's that the water needs Jesus. St. John of Damascus, the great poet and composer, said, "Jesus came to baptism not because he needed cleansing, but he came to sanctify the water itself. Jesus stepping into the Jordan glorified the water. Jesus entering the waters of baptism shows that water is worthy of divinity. Water is worthy of God's presence. And as the foundational element in creation, to restore and sanctify water is to sanctify and restore nature itself. Christ has come to restore not only humanity, but nature itself. And so when Jesus enters the water doesn't become supernatural, as it were. What happens is the water finally becomes natural. The water finally becomes what it was created to be. When we talk about holy water, we're not talking about supernatural water. We're talking about water restored to its true nature, its true essence, which is part of creation being imbued with God. Water receiving divinity and participating in the sanctification of life. General Naaman, in a fit of rage, asked, "Why can't healing come without water?" And the answer is, we are physical as well as spiritual beings, having a physical nature that God took on in the person of Jesus Christ. We don't live in isolation from nature, but we are sanctified through divine cooperation with nature. At the creation of the universe, God spoke these words, "Behold, it is very good." When Jesus enters our waters, they are restored to that original primordial blessing. Amen.